Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another edition of the PVD Cast. I'm your host, John Orlando, the man who brings you this podcast that's live and indirect from Providence, Rhode Island, via the capital city of Columbus, Ohio, and welcome to what I'm trying out. I'm trying this out. It's an experiment. Welcome to an experiment known as The Reviews Are In. That's right. I'm going to review several different things that connect to the world of professional wrestling. I figured I'd try it here. I'm going to go solo for the first time in a very long time on this podcast. I have no guests tonight. I'm just going to wax intellectually about a couple different things involving professional wrestling. One of those being, of course, my review of last Friday night's Ring of Honor show right here in Columbus. And I gotta say, it was a heck of a show. So I'm gonna give you some thoughts, I'm gonna review that. I'll take a quick break, then I'm gonna come back and I'm gonna talk about a DVD that I mentioned several episodes ago that I picked up at the Pittsburgh Comic Con, and that was a bootleg copy of the old Coliseum video release of the WWF's Most Unusual Matches. I finally got a chance to sit down and watch that. I'm going to give you my thoughts about it and whatnot. And then we got a few other miscellaneous different video wrestling related things to talk about. So it's going to be me giving you my 2 cents worth on all of these various different wrestling topics. So with that being said, let's get into it. Survival of the Fittest, for those that do not know, is an annual event that Ring of Honor holds in which it's a series of 6 matches in which the winners go on to face each other in a 6-way scramble match, the winner getting a future title opportunity in Ring of Honor. And I think they started doing this particular Survival of the Fittest contest 4 or 5 years ago. I know in 2011 I went to Dayton and caught one of them in which Michael Elgin won the whole thing, but they've changed up a little bit. They've decided to do Survival of the Fittest Night 1, where they do the preliminary matches, and then the 6-man scramble is the following night. In this case, it was a week ago today, last Saturday, November 8th, in Toledo, Ohio. They had the giant 6-man scramble match. I have to say, I like this setup better. I do remember going to the one in 2011, and the show went incredibly long because they had all of the Survival of the Fittest matches. They had the big 6-man scramble. They had a truckload of other matches, and I mean, the show went on to almost midnight. So I think this is a better idea, a better way to do it. I was very excited to check out Ring of Honor, which I will be honest, prior to last Friday, I hadn't watched Ring of Honor since probably late August. That is, of course, the syndicated show. I watched the episode the week prior to going last Friday just to catch up on storylines and whatnot so I would be prepared. And I gotta say that actually the show was really, really well done. If I was gonna grade it, if I was gonna give it a grade, since I'm a teacher, I would give it an A-. I think that it was a really solid effort from that company. I would say there was probably about 700 people in attendance. It was a very large crowd, probably the largest crowd that I've seen at Columbus. And I've only been to a couple of Columbus shows. I think they've only been here, I think this will be the 4th time they've been here, and I think I've been to 3 out of the 4 of those shows. But certainly the crowd was large, and they were very rambunctious. They started things off with a tag team match. R.D. Evans and Moose, along with Veda Scott, to take on the team of Jay Diesel, and I believe the gentleman's name was Jake Durden. Well, the opposition was not really maybe up to par with R.D. Evans and Moose. I think you can't go wrong opening the show with a little R.D. Evans. I mean, that guy's personality is great. The fans are solidly behind him. He's entertaining and he threw in a little bit of comedy into the match. Moose, he's a big dude. I think that he's got some potential. The fans are certainly behind him. I mean, when he comes down and everybody chants the Moose, Moose, Moose. And, you know, in the ring, he's not bad. You know, I know he's a rookie. The match was entertaining, you know. I think also they added in Truth Martini, as the story was, according to his pre-match promo was that he was there scouting some talent, and he had found Jake Durden and Jay Diesel. So yeah, they added him in there, which helped out quite a bit, but it was a fun match with R.D. Evans and Moose getting the victory. And then they started off the show with our first Survival of the Fittest qualifying match, which was the worst match on the show. And I'm just going to be honest about it. Tommaso Ciampa defeated Will Ferreira. It was advertised. It was supposed to be Caprice Coleman versus Tommaso Ciampa. But from what I understand, Mr. Coleman's father was ill and actually passed away, I think, just a few days ago. And so that probably explains why he wasn't there. My problem was that I don't believe that Will Ferreira and Tommaso Ciampa were on the same page. And the match went 15 minutes. And it just got to a point where it was nonsensical. There was no psychology. The match was boring. They should have cut that down to like 7-8 minutes. Let Tommaso Ciampa go over, which he did. Yeah, it just wasn't a very good match. It was pretty abysmal. The next match in the Survival of the Fittest qualifying match, I think, was match of the night. Roderick Strong defeated Tadarius Thomas. And man, what was a truly hard-hitting... It was unbelievable, the amount of hard-hitting action in this match, and it made sense. It had great psychology. I'm not a huge fan of Tadarius Thomas, but I think the dude put on one hell of a match. And to me, that was match of the night. It was really good. Definitely, if you get the DVD, that's the one to really, maybe you hold off and watch that one last. Don't watch them in order, because I'm telling you, it was hard to top that match. But the next match in the Survival of the Fittest qualifying match, Adam Page defeated Cedric Alexander. I think this match was really good. My only issue with it was it ended very oddly. BJ Whitmer obviously was in the corner of Adam Page, but really it didn't do much. And I kind of thought that if you were going to put Adam Page over, that BJ Whitmer would help him win, but he really didn't. Cedric missed a maneuver, and Adam Page hit that wicked reverse pile driver move of his and got the pin. So, it was odd, but you know, overall it was a great match up till maybe the last couple minutes. And I'll say the same thing for the next match. Adam Cole defeated Delirious by countout in the fourth Survival of the Fittest qualifying match. First of all, it was great to see Delirious, because I don't think I've seen him wrestle in Ring of Honor in quite some time. So it was really cool to see him. The fans are still behind that character. He was very entertaining. Adam Cole, I think, is one of the best heels in Ring of Honor. He did a great job of antagonizing the fans. And the match overall was really good. I didn't like the count-out ending. I thought it kind of took away from what those guys did. But nonetheless, Adam Cole gets the victory. As I take a quick sip of water there, let's move on to the fifth match in the Survival of the Fittest qualifying matches. Hanson defeated Jay Lethal, who was with Truth Martini, obviously. I'll tell you right now, here's another guy, much like Tadarius Thomas, that I wasn't really keen on. But man, oh man, Hanson pulled it out and just had one amazing match. The dude is incredibly agile for as big as he is. The match was entertaining. It had great psychology. It was really well done. And I mean, you know, tip of the hat to Hanson for really stepping up his game. You know, he's been in a tag team with Ray Rowe for a very long time as the duo known as War Machine. As a side note, I think that's an awful name. I mean, it's just very generic. You know, it reminds me of Jim Rhodes from Iron Man. It, you know, obviously has a negative connotation because of the MMA fighter War Machine who beat up Christy Mack and all that jazz. I really think that that's an awful name, but nonetheless, I kind of got off track. Hanson beats Jay Lethal, which probably, is an upset, if you will. They went to intermission, and then we came back with Christopher Daniels and Frankie Kazarian taking on Jimmy Jacobs and BJ Whitmer, the Decade. I like Daniels and Kazarian. I think that they are a great tag team. Again, I'm going to sound like a broken record. I don't like their team name, The Addiction. I just think it's, I don't know. Bad Influence was a better name. I know that probably that's owned by TNA and Dixie Carter and whatnot, but Yeah, I'm not digging the addiction. I don't know. I just maybe I don't see the point. I don't know. I mean, with so many people having addiction problems, maybe that's not an appropriate name. I don't know. I don't know. But nonetheless, Daniels Kazarian, they pick up the win over Jacobs and BJ Whitmer in what was a really good match. A very solid tag team match. Not necessarily what I expected out of those four. It wasn't your typical Ring of Honor tag team match, but it was really good. And again, awesome there. In the final Survival of the Fittest qualifying match, Matt Sydal, hashtag reborn, defeated ACH in what also was a good, solid match. I expected it to be kind of filled with high spot after high spot after high spot, but it wasn't. Those two guys really put it all out there in the ring, trying to best each other, and Matt Sydal gets the dupe and moves on to the night two, which we'll get to in a minute. So that leads us to our main event, which was a no disqualification tag team grudge match, which featured the Briscoes taking on the Kingdom of Matt Taven and Michael Bennett, obviously with Maria Kanellis. I like Matt Taven with the Kingdom. I think that I said that on the very last mini episode of this podcast. I think he is a much better heel than he was a face. And I think that this group of the Kingdom has a lot of great potential with those three guys in it. It was your typical no DQ match. I mean, you know, the Briscoes came out, they used chairs, they grabbed stuff from under the ring, and there was some kind of weird pole thing under the ring that got involved in the match. I mean, it ended up with Matt Taven and Michael Bennett picking up the victory with what I felt was the most dangerous thing I've seen in a long time. It was indeed a spike pile driver onto Mark Briscoe while I believe Michael Bennett was standing on four folding chairs. It looked dangerous. I'm sure it did not feel good. It was a little bit of one of those spots where you go, oh shit, I hope for the benefit of everyone's health this turns out okay. But it ended up with Taven and Bennett getting the victory. Adam Cole come out and they beat up on Jay Briscoe until some other of the faces come out, Hanson and I think Matt Sydal and whatnot. But overall, really good show for Ring of Honor. I don't know if they're going to televise some of the matches from Columbus, maybe in a few weeks on their syndicated show. But if they do, definitely, man, DVR that stuff because it was a really good show. But now let's talk about the next night, the finals, if you will. So you had Adam Cole, Hanson, Tommaso Ciampa, Matt Sydal, Adam Page, and Roderick Strong in the six-way elimination match in Toledo on the 8th of November, which is the finals for Survival of the Fittest Night 2. And in what I thought maybe, as I was leaving Friday night, and I was leaving the fairgrounds down there on 17th Avenue, I thought, well, if they're going to put somebody over, I think they're going to put Hanson over, because obviously you got the big victory over Jay Lethal, maybe push him for a TV title shot or whatnot. But no, as I read on Sunday night, the results from Toledo, Adam Cole won Survival of the Fittest. So I'm assuming that we're going to be pushing for their big pay-per-view final battle that we're going to have Jay Briscoe versus Adam Cole, which, I got to be honest, seen that, done that. You know, it's like Orton and Cena, you know, for the millionth time on a pay-per-view. I don't know about this Ring of Honor. I got to be honest. I think that this is a bad idea. Why not get another contender for Jay Briscoe instead of Adam Cole? I don't know. I think that that's a bad idea. But what do I know, man? I'm not the booker in Ring of Honor. So anyway, so there you go. That's the recap, ladies and gentlemen, of Survival of the Fittest. My 2 cents worth, again, an A- overall. Probably the best Columbus Ring of Honor show I have seen. And quite frankly, maybe it's been the best Ring of Honor show I've seen in a while. Because, you know, I think back to 2011 and going out to Dayton, and that Survival of the Fittest was, it was okay. But overall, great job, Ring of Honor. Enjoyed it. I felt it was money well spent. And with that, I'm going to go to a very quick break, if you will. When I come out of the break, I'm going to tell you about a recent purchase of mine, the WWF's most unusual matches.
Big Fun Columbus. What is that, you ask? It's simply the greatest toy store on the face of the planet, and it's right here in Columbus, Ohio. Shimmy on down to 672 North High Street in the Short North, and you can check out all of the various different toys that they have. If you listen to my previous episode of the PVD Cast, where I, John Orlando, did a complete entire episode from the store, you know that they got everything you could imagine. You need wrestling figures? They got them. You need McFarlane toys? They got them. He-Man? You got it. G.I. Joe? You got it. Star Wars? Legos? Whatever you need, whatever you collect, they got it at Big Fun. And guess what? If they don't have something, they got a wish list. You put it on there, they'll try to get it for you. Man, oh man, you got to go visit the guys and the girls down at Big Fun Columbus. Once again, they're at 672 North High Street in the Short North. You can check them out on Twitter at Big Fun Columbus, or simply go to Facebook, facebook.com/Big Fun Columbus. Check it out. Get down there for everything that you need in terms of collecting, or hell, if you just want to go down and relive your childhood like I did, stop on down to Big Fun Columbus and check it out.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the PVD Cast. John Orlando here on this episode called The Reviews Are In. And I'm going to carry on with reviewing my next item, which was a DVD that I purchased back at the end of September at the Pittsburgh Comic Con, which I believe I mentioned this several episodes ago. It's a bootleg DVD of a Coliseum video release called The WWF's Most Unusual Matches. Now, if you will, humor me for a minute, as I inform some of the listeners who might not know what goes on at a comic book convention. Well, obviously, there are comic books for sale there. Older issues, new issues, trade paperbacks, omnibus, whatever. You'll also find anime, manga stuff. You'll find, oftentimes, artists, creators, writers, collaborators there signing some of their work. And oftentimes you'll find a little bit of wrestling stuff there, whether it be wrestling paraphernalia, clothing, action figures, because, oh yeah, there's lots of action figures at a comic book convention. Well, I happened to be going down the rows doing some shopping, and I saw a gentleman that had a lot of bootleg DVDs. And a lot of these DVDs were various different old cartoons or comic book related movies, stuff like that. And there's even, you know, some foreign films. This gentleman had, over on the sidewall, three old WWF Coliseum video releases, two of which I remember fondly. The one, I believe, is entitled Hulkamania, and it's a compilation of all of Hulk Hogan's matches against people like Big John Studd, Dr. D, David Schultz. I think there's a tag match with him and Andre against Ken Patera and Big John Studd. I remember that particular video as much as I also remember this one that I purchased, the WWF's Most Unusual Matches. I remember them because growing up, my aunt, who lived two doors down from me, she was one of the first people in the family to get a VCR. And she took me as a young lad over to the video store that was a couple blocks over. And she said, Johnny, you're allowed to go ahead and rent anything you want. And I went and picked out the Hulkamania one and this one, the WWF's Most Unusual Matches. I remember those were the first two wrestling videotapes I ever rented. So as I stood there in that particular booth, I said to myself, I really like to get one. But to be honest with you, sometimes you have to watch buying bootleg DVDs because you don't know what kind of quality they are. And this gentleman was selling them for $10. And I'm like, do I go with both Hulkamania and The Unusual? But $20, what if they suck quality-wise? So I plunked down my $10 and bought the WWF's Most Unusual Matches. So I've had it on the shelf for a while. Had an opportunity to sit down and watch it finally. And, we're going to talk a little bit about some of the matches you saw and some of the quality of the matches. I already graded the Ring of Honor show and gave it an A-. I give this, I'm going to say, a C+, and I'll explain why. I think that, as a kid, these matches were much more memorable and much more amazing than they actually truly are. All right, but still, it was a nice trip down nostalgia lane. So, all right, here we go. The first note I got to mention is that all the matches are somewhat edited for time, so there's some parts edited out. And all of them, except for two, are from Madison Square Garden. And this particular video was produced in 1985. So that gives you a little bit of time frame of some of the matches. So here we go. Our first match is Tito Santana versus Greg the Hammer Valentine for the Intercontinental Championship in a lumberjack match. And let me just tell you right now, there were a lot of lumberjacks, but there were some preliminary guys out there, like Barry O and Terry Gibbs and Charlie Fulton, along with some of the bigger names, such as Big John Studd, King Kong Bundy, Rocky Johnson, Junkyard Dog, Ricky Steamboat. Greg Valentine has the old, really old green belt. Gorilla Monsoon and Mean Gene call the action. It was a good match, but the ending was absolutely awful. They're kind of whipping off the ropes, both the Hammer and Tito, and they collide, bump heads. Tito takes the back bump, and Greg falls on top of him to get the three count, which I just thought was very anticlimactic. I really just was like, what? That's how you're going to win. Kind of awful. But that's not the worst match, because the worst match is the next one, which Jesse the Body Ventura does a voiceover for, and he mentions that it is from Madison Square Garden. It's from 1979. It's Greg the Hammer Valentine versus Chief J Strongbow in an Indian strap match. Again, it's edited for time, as all the matches are, as I just mentioned that. What I don't understand is that Ventura mentions it's a no disqualification match, and really puts over that these two have a rivalry to end. So, towards, say about the 9-minute mark or whatnot, Chief J Strongbow pushes the ref down. The ref gets back up, and then he kicks him in the dick. Yeah, I don't think he meant to do it, but he kicked him right in the dick. So then the ref goes down. Tito Santana, Dominic DiNucci, and Ivan Putski come out to try to break these two up because they just are clubbing away on each other. The referee throws the match out, which I don't understand, because if it's no disqualification, so you may have punched the referee, maybe you've kicked the referee in the dick, but that still, you should have just waved that off and continued on. So it's a no contest. It was really, really bizarre and just an awful match. But the only thing I did enjoy was that Valentine attempts to grab a chair at ringside, and a fan reaches over the barricade and grabs it. And then they get in a tussle in which Valentine takes a swing at the dude, and man, cops are everywhere. but that, it just made no sense to me. All right, the next match is a Texas Tornado tag team match. Jimmy Superfly Snuka and Junkyard Dog against Rowdy Roddy Piper and Cowboy Bob Orton. Mean Gene and Gorilla again with the call. There was a double sleeper spot from Orton and Piper. That was pretty awesome. But Piper and Orton get the dupe when kind of all four men are battling. Piper trips JYD from the outside. He turns around and Orton schoolboys him and gets the pin. So, interesting match. It was cool to see those four. It was actually pretty good in terms of the action. Now we go to another match that was really awful. A reason why this DVD is getting a C+. There was a Women's Battle Royal. Now, this was one of the matches that was not from Madison Square Garden. It was from the 1960s, as it was mentioned. Gorilla Monsoon does a voiceover. The women could be eliminated not by being thrown over the top rope or under the rope or anything like that. They had to be pinned. It was awful. I have never heard of any of these young ladies. I gotta be honest with you. There was a lot of one pieces though, which that was kind of refreshing. I mean, if we're talking about ladies' gear in 2014, I think somebody needs to bring back one of the ladies out there needs to bring back the one piece. And there might be a somebody out there. I know Thunder Kitty wears one, but to match your gimmick. But I mean, just a regular average, just a regular female wrestler who doesn't have that gimmick needs to bring back the one piece, because that would be awesome. But I believe that Sue Green was your winner of the Battle Royal, but it was not very good either. Our next match is a 20-man Battle Royal. that featured some notable people such as Dick Murdoch, Butcher Vachon, Antonio Inoki, Steve Lombardi, Adrian Adonis, Sergeant Slaughter, the Iron Sheik, you know, Santana was in there, Rocky Johnson, there's just a whole bunch of people. Gorilla Monsoon with the call, although I did find it somewhat funny that we get down to the last couple of individuals, which Rene Goulet, I believe, was one. Ron Shaw and Antonio Inoki were the three. So the two heels gang up on Antonio Inoki, in which Gorilla says, a Pearl Harbor job, in referring to Ron Shaw attacking Inoki from behind. Is that appropriate to say? I don't know. But anyways, Antonio Inoki gets the win in the 20-man over-the-top rope battle royal. It was okay for battle royal. That's why, it is what it is. This match actually was really, really good. It might have been the best match on the DVD. Jimmy Superfly Snuka versus Don Magnificent Morocco. Steel cage match. It's the old chain link steel cage. You gotta escape from the cage. Gorilla Monsoon and Pat Patterson called this one from Madison Square Garden. It was a really good match. And many people may remember this match, especially for the highlight at the end. Morocco wins basically because Snuka's making a comeback and he does a flying headbutt to Morocco in the corner where the cage door is, and Morocco flips up over the top rope into the cage door and tumbles out onto the floor, and that's how Magnificent Morocco wins, and if I remember correctly, still holds on to the Intercontinental title. What's memorable about it is that Snuka goes outside and continues to beat on him, throws him back in the cage, and then gives him the Superfly Splash from the top of the cage, which I remember that as, you know, as a historic leap from Snuka. But overall, really a good match. I mean, you know, it was violent, it was bloody, it was full of action. However, the very next match is Magnificent Morocco and his manager, Captain Lou Albano, versus Superfly Jimmy Snuka and his manager, the Golden Boy, Arnold Skoland. I don't know. It was all right. I think there was... Captain Lou Albano no-sells everything, which he's not in the ring very often, but he no-sells everything. And I marveled because I'm like, he was a worker for a while. But, oh man, it was really bad. Again, Pat Patterson and Gorilla Monsoon from MSG. Jimmy Snuka and Arnold Skoland and Superfly Snuka are your winners. So, I don't know. It was an okay match. The next match, there's only about two more left here. The next match was Haystacks Calhoun teaming with High Chief Peter Maivia and a very young Larry Zbysko versus Butcher Vachon, Moose Monroe, and Strong Kobayashi. This match was, as I mentioned, they're all edited. Thank God this one was edited down to about 2 minutes. Calhoun, Maivia, and Zbysko go over. I mean, it really was not a very... there was nothing to the match. So to me, I didn't even really care because it's basically Moose Monroe getting manhandled by Haystacks Calhoun. So, and now our last match, which is 3 out of 5 falls, 10-man tag team action. All right, but... interestingly enough, the match itself was not that bad, and it seemed like it went pretty quick. And I'll explain why. All right, so on one side, you had Magnificent Morocco, Mr. Fuji, Playboy Buddy Rose, Ray the Crippler Stevens, and Superstar Billy Graham. But it's sucky Superstar Billy Graham. It's not cool Superstar Billy Graham. And by that I mean handlebar black mustache, bald head, black karate pants, not the cool WWF heavyweight champion, Ultra Ryman, Bleach Blonde, awesome Superstar Billy Graham. They take on Andre the Giant, Salvatore Bellarmo, Rocky Johnson, Pedro Morales, and Superfly Jimmy Snuka. the weird part about this, it's from the Philadelphia Spectrum. Gorilla Monsoon calls the action in a voiceover, but every once in a while you can hear other commentary that they've dubbed over, so that was weird. But overall, Andre's team is victorious, and I heard the ring announcer say that the third and decisive fall took place in like 9 minutes. So I don't think the match was actually super long because, you know, as I mentioned to my good friend Adam Michaels, while I was talking to him about this DVD, he's like, oh God, that went on probably 30 minutes. I was like, yeah, I don't know. I think it was a short match overall. But then the DVD winds up with some ads for upcoming VHS releases, which just made me giggle, because, I mean, come on, this sounds just truly, truly nostalgic. But anyways, you could get WrestleMania on two VHS tapes. All you had to do was call your video store retailer. There was also an ad for the Best of the WWF Volume 3, the WWF's Biggest, Smallest, Strangest, Strongest, and Rowdy Roddy Piper's Greatest Hits. So, I'll be looking for those on bootleg at the next comic book convention I go to. But overall, like I said, a C+. Some of the matches were not very good, but it was a great trip down memory lane. It was nice to see some of these superstars and really get to take in their body of work. Especially, you know, one I mentioned that I've not seen a lot of, but Rocky Johnson, man, he was damn good back in the day. And I think that I've never really watched a lot of his stuff to realize, but in that 10-man tag team match, man, oh man, he was damn good. So, all right, with that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to take one more quick break, and then I'm going to come back and talk about two other interesting documentaries that I've found online that I really think, if you get a chance, they're not super long, you should sit down, fire up YouTube, and watch them. So with that, I'm going to take another break, and when I come out of the break, I'm going to wrap things up with this episode, The Reviews Are In. John Orlando, the host of the PVD Cast, want to take a few moments to tell you about Stitcher Radio. If you don't know, Stitcher Radio is where you can hear the PVD Cast and thousands of other podcasts that are on the network. Stitcher Radio is the greatest app that you could have on your Android or on your iPhone or on your tablet. If you don't have it, go to your app store and download it, or go to Stitcher.com where they'll tell you how to get Stitcher Radio. It is the greatest. It is the best. It's one app. That's all you need, folks. It will let you know when a new episode's up because it continuously updates. So if you want to know when is the next episode of the PVD Cast up, boom, it'll tell you. Trust me, I know. I have friends that have used the app on their particular Android or iPhone, and they love it. They love it. You can get customized recommendations for anything you're interested in, whether it's wrestling, news, entertainment, whatever. Definitely check out Stitcher.com or go to the App Store and pick up Stitcher Radio so you can stay in the know. All right, ladies and gentlemen, John Orlando back here on this episode of the PVD Cast. And the last thing that I'm going to review, hence the name The Reviews Are In, are two documentaries that I found on YouTube. I was alerted to the first one through Twitter, and it's simply called A Veda Scott Mini Documentary. It's done by a gentleman by the name of Kenny Johnson, and it pretty much is about 4.5-5 minute mini documentary on the career of Veda Scott. Many of you know her from Ring of Honor and from many other independent promotions such as AIW in Cleveland and whatnot. It was very well done. I was impressed with the quality and the editing and the lighting. It was not only is Miss Scott a very interesting interview, I just thought overall the production was really good and it was top notch. And then shortly thereafter, within a week or so, I found another one of Mr. Kenny Johnson's documentaries entitled A Short Documentary About Intergender Wrestling. Now, it's a little bit longer. It's about 14 minutes long. And then, of course, it's talking about how many promotions have embraced this idea, especially independent promotions, I should say, of gentlemen taking on ladies. And, of course, some of the individuals that are featured in this documentary, Greg Excellent, Ricky Shane Page, Kimberly, Gregory Iron, Eddie Kingston, Veda Scott, Heidi Lovelace, Silesia, Sparks. It was really an interesting discussion, you know, about whether there is a place for man versus woman in professional wrestling. But again, I really marvel at Mr. Johnson's professionalism. I mean, the look and the feel of these documentaries are as if they're produced by like HBO. And I really tip of the hat, man, production wise, they're really good. Not only are the stories, as I mentioned, the stories are also fascinating, but just overall, well done. And I just happened to kind of, before I started recording this particular episode, I started looking around. He's got a couple of other ones out there. There's one entitled, I believe, Pro Wrestler, which chronicles life on the indies. There's one about Sami Callihan, who many know now as Solomon Crowe in NXT. But definitely check out these two. I think they're really interesting. And, you know, I'll probably check out more of Mr. Johnson's work, you know, as he continues to roll some of those out. Because, again, great job, man. Great job overall. So there you go, ladies and gents. I take another quick sip of water, as I'm a little bit sinusy, so I took some cold medicine and it dries me out some. So I apologize for the constant slurping, if you will. But with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, it's getting up about 37 minutes, and since it's just been me prattling on and on and on about different topics and different reviews and different events here in the world of professional wrestling, I'm going to start wrapping it up here. So, with that being said, it's time for Orlando's Faves. All right. My fave for this episode of the podcast is, well, I got to explain a little bit. I've become fascinated with the career of Ohio Congressman Jim Trafficant. As you know from the episode in which I did regarding the Pittsburgh Comic Con when I was in Eastern Ohio, he is a very interesting, controversial figure in Eastern Ohio. But the guy is just fascinating. Well, my fave for this week is a Kickstarter. Program, whatever you call those. What do you call those? Fundraisers, I guess. Kickstarter fundraisers. I don't know why I'm struggling with the words. All right, it's on Kickstarter. It's a documentary entitled Trafficant, Congressman of Crime Town. Now, the filmmaker in Los Angeles, his name is Eric Murphy, and he is trying to get the last little bit of funding so that he can wrap up the movie. Now, the documentary chronicles Jim Trafficant's life and his career in politics, which is a colorful one. Just to give you a little bit of background, this is a gentleman who was born and raised in Youngstown. He ended up becoming the sheriff of Mahoning County, which is the county in which Youngstown sits in. And he was determined to get rid of organized crime in that area. And so he went about his business and was brought upon, or was brought up upon some criminal charges for supposedly bribes and whatnot. This man in 1982 defeated the Department of Justice in a U.S. courtroom while representing himself. That should not happen. He then parlayed that into a very successful, albeit controversial, career in Congress in which basically, he pulled no punches, man. In fact, I believe that there is a particular scene in the trailer where Jim Trafficant tells the IRS in an interview they should go fuck themselves. So, I mean, that's what we need, man. We need more straight shooters. We need more shooters in Congress, man. But nonetheless, also featured in the film are Youngstown natives Ray Boom Boom Mancini and of course Ed O'Neill of Modern Family fame talking a little bit about their favorite Trafficant moments. So I'm excited about this. I hope that Mr. Murphy gets the rest of his money and they can get a distribution deal and they get this thing out, because man oh man, I'm telling you, I will be the first person in line to go see it, because again, Jim Trafficant I find to be a fascinating topic. So there you go, ladies and gentlemen. You know what? I'll even say it right here, right now. I'm gonna make it happen. If somehow Eric Murphy in Los Angeles hears this, I will openly invite him somehow, some way, to come on this podcast and talk about it. There you go. I'm gonna be that bold. Damn it, why not? I'm gonna be that bold. He knows how to get in touch. If you don't know how to get in touch with me, here's how you get in touch with me. I was gonna say he knows. He doesn't know. Guy's never heard of me before, probably. He's in goddamn L.A., probably having wine spritzers with producers and shit like that. And I'm here at Casa de la Orlando doing a podcast. Anyways, here's how you get in touch with me if you're Eric Murphy or if you're anyone just listening. You can shoot me an email. JohnOrlando@PVDcast.com. You can follow me on Twitter at PVDMVP. Ladies and gents, with that, I'm going to wrap things up. I appreciate you listening. Let me know what you think about my reviews of the Ring of Honor show, of the WWF DVD, of these other mini documentaries I've told you to check them out. Let me know what you think, man. Don't be a stranger. Again, JohnOrlando@PVDcast.com, or go on over to Twitter and you can hit me up at PVDMVP, or heck, if you want, leave a comment on my own website, PVDcast.com. All right, with that, ladies and gentlemen, thanks for listening. I will talk at each and every one of you later.